How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Lots of news to get into here today, heading into the weekend. Of course, if you're in the Chicago area, tomorrow, July 14th, Crown Point, Indiana, myself and Filthy Tom Lawler of UFC fame, tagging up to take on the greatest tag team of all time, the Rock and Roll Express. Tickets still available, blacklabelpro.ticketleap.com. It's going to be an awesome time. So if you're in Chicago, head over there to check it out, Crown Point, Indiana. About an hour drive, it's not too bad. And if you're not in the Chicago or Crown Point area, you can watch it on powerbomb.tv, at powerbomb.tv on Twitter. All the information, there's a 20-day free trial. Check out the match, check out powerbomb.tv. Have some fun tomorrow. Today on the show, we got a lot of news to get into here today. We have Ring of Honor and Madison Square Garden. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Ring of Honor attempting to get a date. They were shut out. As it turns out, they're back in. And not only are they getting a date at Madison Square Garden, it's taking place April 6, 2019, Saturday of WrestleMania weekend in New York and New Jersey. So there's a lot to talk about here in terms of New Japan, WWE, and Madison Square Garden. We can discuss that. Brock Lesnar will be returning to WWE, defending the title at SummerSlam against who? I don't know yet. But that is his next scheduled date, and I believe his last scheduled date, unless they once again sign him to another extension. So we can talk about that today. The Mae Young Classic is shaping up. Four more wrestlers announced today. Rey Mysterio returning to New Japan at the G1 Finals and also likely going to be signing a deal with WWE soon. If you want to call us or text us about any of these topics here today, 844-411-5411 is the phone number. And text messages 425-780-7566. All Ego Ethan Page going to be joining us on the show today as well. Lots to get into. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot of news to get into here today. Not going to waste any time. All Ego Ethan Page joining us at some point here today on the program. While it appeared the show had fallen through, Ring of Honor set to run at Madison Square Garden in 2019 after all. ROH and New Japan announced yesterday a G1 Supercard, a co-branded show from the two companies, taking place at Madison Square Garden April 6, 2019, the Saturday of WrestleMania weekend in New York and New Jersey. New Japan's Kazuchika Okada, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tetsuya Naito already advertised, along with, quote, all of the top ROH stars. So, all I can tell you is that I talked to a couple people from Ring of Honor yesterday, and they have no idea how this thing got settled, okay? But clearly, there were legal threats made. Do you agree with this, Mike?
I agree with this.
Okay, just making sure. I know we'd argued about this before.
Nah.
If they had got the date on, like, just some random day, then maybe not. But the fact that they're getting Madison Square Garden on WrestleMania weekend, after WWE had put the ixnay on this, it just tells you the power of Sinclair. There you go.
It does. It does. It also tells you that an empty threat is an empty threat. And there was no reason for Sinclair to not be able to, for Ring of Honor to not be able to get this date because there was nothing planned from WWE. There was nothing. They had nothing. So what was the reason that it was being stopped? It was a long relationship where somebody made a phone call and somebody got that phone call and said, hey, hold on, wait, hold on here. We got a relationship with these guys. But that relationship has been frayed for a long time. You know, Barclays Center became the thing. Madison Square Garden, for whatever reason, has driven a lot of people away from it. And a lot of it obviously has to do with the money. Sinclair's fine with paying that money. They should have been very open to it. And I guess they were. Some people were. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame WWE for trying to get in the way. But they tried. They failed. And I don't know if this has got a lot to do with legal threats as much as somebody with the ability to fight WWE on this just pointed out something very obvious, which was there's no reason for us not to be able to run here. Explain it. And NASA Square Garden just frankly couldn't explain it. And you can see the tact that they've taken in social media and with some of the releases that they've put out there, welcoming ROH now with just wonderfully open arms.
This from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. After ROH's plans to hold a show at Madison Square Garden next year were made public, Dave Meltzer reported in June, WWE was doing everything possible to block it from happening. Joe Koff did an interview with PW Insider, where he said that MSG informed ROH that they were backing out of the event after, quote, communications from the WWE. Koff said he expected that ROH's lawyers would be contacting all the involved parties in hopes of finding a resolution. We are thrilled to welcome Ring of Honor Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling to Madison Square Garden for the much-anticipated G1 Supercard, said Joel Fisher, MSG's Executive Vice President of Marquee Events. Do they have a Executive Vice President of Non-Marquee Events? Like, if I ran a show there, would there be somebody to handle that?
Kind of, yes, believe it or not, yeah.
Really? We expect April 6th to be another memorable night of wrestling at the world's most famous arena. So, man, that's going to be an interesting night. Is ROH going to outsell NXT at the Barclays Center? I guess we'll find out.
You know what? I don't think that they will, but it doesn't really matter because it's going to be close enough. I'm most interested to see what's left over because obviously with those two shows going head up against each other, Evolve or anybody else that had plans of Friday night or had plans of Saturday night now need to probably step back and really kind of consider, okay, what do we want to do here? What's the tact we want to take? Do we want to run early in the day? Do we want to have multiple shows at midnight or post hangover shows for these two events? You know, the same way that Spring Break and Beyond and some other shows, it's been just them. Kaiju Big Battle, do they decide to add something else there? Do we see competition at different points in the day? I know these shows are going to do incredibly well, and I think both are going to, if not sell out, come close to it because of the fever pitch I think wrestling fans and everybody else is going to be worked into leading into WrestleMania weekend next year in New York. But I'm interested in the rest of the people, everybody else that's there trying to get a piece of the pie here now that Ring of Honor and New Japan are going to be in Madison Square Garden and taking a lot of attention and taking a lot of money. I'm going to assume these tickets are not going to be cheap at all. I'm interested to see what kind of effect that has on everybody else.
Let me tell you something. I'll make a monetary bet right here. So the first time that New Japan ran in the United States, they sold out immediately. The first time there was an all-in, 10,000 tickets in 30 minutes. Ring of Honor and New Japan running Madison Square Garden. I will not say that they're going to sell out. I will not go that far. Maybe they will. But I will say, I'll bet $20 US if you'll take this bet, that Ring of Honor and New Japan in Madison Square Garden outsells NXT TakeOver at the Barclays Center. Will you take that bet? It's $20, dude. Just take it for fun.
I'm okay.
All right. There you go, everybody. Look at that. Look at how good I am. All right.
Hey, what is Barclays? I can't even remember what Barclays' size is. I mean, for wrestling, for the Garden, was it like 17? I can't even remember now what it is for... For both, I guess we got to check that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, the gate on this for Ring of Honor is going to be, I tell you what, that gate is going to be far more impressive in their money made per head with merch and you include all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's going to be some serious thunder stealing taking away from NXT.
All right, we also have this news here, which if you go on Twitter, like some people thought this was huge news because they're in the loop. And those that are not in the loop didn't think it was big news at all. But Brock Lesnar will be defending the WWE title at SummerSlam. Now, as of like 2 days ago, he wasn't even booked on the show at all. And it seems kind of weird, but who knows what idea Vince McMahon has. Brock Lesnar's next WWE match set for SummerSlam. Dave Meltzer has confirmed Lesnar will be back in the ring for WWE's premier summer show. It is not known who he will face. A multi-man match was originally set for Extreme Rules that would have determined the next contender, but that was canceled as part of a storyline where negotiations for Lesnar's next title defense fell through. Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, who were the first to announce for the bout, will instead battle in a singles match, which as of right now, we don't even know if that's supposed to be a number one contenders match. So, very quickly, Brock Lesnar showed up at UFC on Saturday night, challenged Daniel Cormier. He has entered himself into the USADA testing pool. He cannot fight in UFC until early January. So, there's no rush to get the title off of the guy. He has contracted for one more show. After WrestleMania, they signed him to two events. One was the Greatest Royal Rumble, and one was to be determined. And it looks like, at this point, that's going to be SummerSlam. Now, obviously, they could sign him to another extension if they really want to fool people, if they want to not put the title on Roman Reigns again. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what their plan is. But if you recall on Monday, there was zero mention of Brock Lesnar on the show, to the point where Roman Reigns said in a promo that he was going to beat Bobby Lashley and, quote, move on to bigger things. Didn't mention Brock, didn't mention the title. So there was some thought that, holy smokes, maybe something happened between Saturday and Monday where Brock showed up and Vince got angry and all of this is out the window. None of that happened.
No.
Everything that they have done with Brock, like, everything that they have done with Brock is all part of Vince McMahon's storyline. Whatever crazy storyline he has, Brock is not no-showing events. Brock is not refusing to put up the title. Brock is not looking to leave with the title. Brock is doing everything that Vince McMahon is asking him to do. So that was just a creative decision on Monday why he was not mentioned. We'll talk about this, get Mike's thoughts, phone calls, and more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Our friend Laura here on Twitter notes, WWE have sent out another 3 months free offer for the WWE Network. So if your subscription expired, now's your chance. Grab another 3 months free. Cover SummerSlam. And probably the September pay-per-view as well. What a deal. What a deal.
Amazing. Amazing.
I'll ego Ethan Page joining us after the next break. And if you want to give us a call here today, 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566. Any other thoughts on Brock, Mike?
Can I ask you what the point was of building up Brock as an outsider, as somebody who is tied up with UFC, as someone who is distracted, does not want to be bothered with the people and the employers that he is currently with, hates the people that he's got to perform in front of, wants to go over, sees, looks behind his shoulder, sees that other girl. The girl looks like Dana White. He lusts after her as WWE stands there. And you're talking about all of this and how it affects Roman and how it affects Bobby. And they did a good job with Ron Bob this past Monday. But why then would you not mention anything at all about Brock Lesnar? Because the explanation that Dave had, which was, well, he didn't want to take anything away from Roman and Bobby, I don't see how announcing that this being for number one contendership or this just being them wanting to kill each other to get each other out of the way for the real mission that both of them have expressed in the past that they wanted, why you couldn't have brought that up on Monday. It was conspicuous by its absence. It was, I think, head-scratching for a lot of people that just didn't understand why he didn't mention his name 2 days after he gets into the biggest pull-apart in sports all over the place with Daniel Cormier. It just didn't make any sense whatsoever.
The idea was, we've got to push the pay-per-view.
But that was a bad excuse when he has been a part of the pay-per-view build as a shadow of those two men's story.
I know, but hey,
the whole reason they're fighting.
Let me give you this, okay? Maybe the idea was to completely ignore him, A, to push the idea of the pay-per-view, and B, for you to think that there are even bigger issues between the two sides, and maybe he's really not coming back.
Dude, when do they ever do that?
I mean,
like,
they can always show the footage later. And you know what? The other thing, they may not even have rights to the footage. That's
no,
the other
you
big
don't
issue.
Have to, but you no, absolutely not. You didn't have to have rights to that footage. Everybody saw the footage. All you had to do was mention it, you know?
Yeah, Heyman can mention it Monday.
Put up still shots of it from USA Today or ESPN or your other media partners.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Any question about the greatest tag team of all time? Do you remember when Robert Gibson led a team for War Games of Ron Simmons, Sting, and Z-Man to beat Ricky Morton, Nikita Koloff, Scott Hall, and the One Man Gang? And
sure.
how exactly did Robert Gibson pick up that impressive victory? And I think WCW should have used it as the actual Great American Bash pay-per-view, because I think a lot of people would have been interested in seeing that match.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe they would have been interested and maybe they wouldn't. I mean, you have to think about Matt and Jeff Hardy have broken up many times. Nobody has ever wanted to see them wrestle each other. And there are many teams throughout history where they break up, one guy goes heel, one guy goes babyface. The fans don't want to see them fight each other. So maybe that would have been huge. Maybe it wouldn't. I can't tell you. I don't know. That was not the worst question Ryan's ever asked.
No, he had a couple of those earlier on in the week. You've been missing all this.
Yeah. Usually he asks non-stupid questions when I'm gone, but I guess he's changed his ways. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I was just watching NXT, and I had to turn it off because of the crowd's constant chant of Undisputed Mustache Mountain.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You really turned it off because of that?
Yeah, it was grating my nerves.
Wow.
Do you think that enough is enough?
Don't go to Crown Point tomorrow.
Trying to get themselves over?
No, I think they really were super into it. I thought it was really cool. Like, usually we'll hear a dueling chant, and it will start, and then it will fizzle out. This Undisputed Mustache Mountain chant went on for like 2 straight minutes. Like, Vinny and I are sitting here, and we're listening, and we're waiting for it to die down, and it keeps going. And we're waiting for it to die down, and it keeps going. And we were laughing by the end. Like, yeah, they just kept going forever.
But I think that's what he's talking about. He's not entertained by it.
And well, there are I don't know what to tell you.
In fact, there's more than a few people who it does get annoying. It depends on how fast it gets annoying to you, but there are some people it doesn't get annoying to at all. But there are other people, who some tend to be also older too, seemingly, that just it drives them nuts after a while. Because when two people lock up and you're chanting, "This is awesome," it is a little ridiculous. But with that said, I'm not going to sit here and say I can regulate all the fans. You did pay your money for the ticket and everything, and I wish things would be corrected a little bit, as we don't say what after. Well, actually, that does happen now. That does come back every once in a while. But, you know, I would like it to change and go back a little bit, but that's probably not going to happen. You have to just turn the volume down and just watch the match, because that match stood out on its own, whether people were saying something stupid or not.
Listen, all I know is that match last night may have been the greatest NXT main event I've ever seen on the television show.
Really?
Maybe not better than any takeover match. I don't know if I would not give it 5 stars. I'd have to watch it again. When that match was over, I thought, that's a 5-star match right there.
I don't know if it was better than the Briscoes and the Bucks.
I'm talking NXT. What Briscoes and Bucks?
Well, you're throwing five stars around here, champ. We got tag matches this year that have been very good. You're putting it in rare air.
I am putting it in rare air. What did you guys think that watched that match last night? The last 5 minutes of that match was so incredible to me. The fans were living and dying with the last 5 minutes of that match. It was the drama. I mean, maybe the Gargano Ciampa 5-star matches were better bell to bell, but as far as pure drama, I think that this match was the best NXT match of the year. So I'd be very happy to hear everybody else's thoughts. And by the way, this person here says, "Greetings, Brian and Mike. I was wondering if anybody flying into Chicago has a cheap way to get to Crown Point. Rideshare is $200. Thank you." So I guess if you want a carpool buddy, I guess text me at the number here, 425-780-7566, and maybe I can hook you guys up together. You can ride share to the building, save some
money.
Somebody
rent a van?
I'm not in charge of vans or buses, I'm sorry.
Somebody should, though. Somebody should be. See, you want to make some money? Somebody go out there, rent a van, and just, you know, charge everybody to get into it, you know, a couple bucks, and then ride. Let's go.
First says, "Finn versus Nakamura was better than Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain." I'd have to watch it again. I would have to watch it again. This person says, "Taking a bus to Crown Point from the airport. What's the bell time?" I believe 8:30 Central, I believe. I think that's the time. Oh, at Black Label Pro, or at BL Pro, or whatever it is, B Label Pro. Just Google Black Label Pro. You can find all the information there. Laura says, are you worried about Filthy turning on you? No! I guarantee. I'm pulling the old Vince McMahon guarantee. I guarantee Filthy Tom Lawler is not turning on me tomorrow.
Is Simon Gotch or Fred Yehi or anybody like that scheduled on this card?
I don't think so. Actually, I'd have to check. I have no idea.
If I were you, I might want to check that.
I'm part of Team Filthy, okay? I'm captain of Team Filthy and the co-captain of Team Kick. That's another matter entirely. Person says, if they don't outsell them, they'll put at least 15,000 in Madison Square Garden. I think people are forgetting this is WrestleMania weekend combined with New York City. Tens of thousands of people flying in. 15 to 20K is not that much of a stretch.
Well, it depends on how much the tickets are, too. I mean, look, if every seat's $100, maybe not. But then again, that
ain't gonna
won't
do
matter.
$100. Look at ROH.
Saying.
Look at all-in ticket prices. I mean, they were very, very affordable. The person says, any thoughts on David Arquette returning to the ring this weekend? I got a thought. I want a match with David Arquette. I want a match. I want a singles match with David Arquette in Black Label Pro.
There you go. You're just, okay.
That's what I want. I'm back, baby.
Are you really?
Yeah, really. What are you talking about, really?
Well, you come in one night only. I'm here. I'm out of retirement to face the...
Yeah, but I feel great.
The only thing that could get me out of retirement, now that you're out of retirement all of a sudden, like, now you're Terry Funk 89 or what?
I feel great. I look great. My fake tan is incredible.
How's your hair?
You should see what Granny has made for us for the match.
Oh,
She created something for us to wear.
Does it look better?
I recorded the vocals for our theme song this morning.
Yeah, I saw that. What the hell is that?
You'll see tomorrow.
Oh,
you'll see tomorrow. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, this is Ishmael in Virginia.
Yes, Ishmael.
So before I ask my question, I just wanted to comment on the NXT tag match from this week. Obviously, it was great. The only critique I've heard people try to say was, oh, you know, he was in the knee bar for so long, blah, blah, blah. But as a viewer of MMA, that happens in real fights as well.
Yeah, what do you want him to do? What did they expect him to do? Die? We don't know if he can walk right now.
An arm bar. Exactly.
Yeah, there's no fallout. I mean, maybe his leg has to be amputated.
Yeah. Exactly. Could be. Exactly. We saw that with like Dan Hardy and John Jones. It happens where people just refuse to tap. And
hey, I was there. I was in the building when Dan Hardy refused to tap to George St. Pierre, and I was sitting there relatively caged. I still couldn't figure out how Dan Hardy didn't tap. So yes,
listen,
this is truth.
Here's another one. Everyone who thinks that was not realistic, go watch Ken Shamrock versus Don Fry, where they were in a leg lock. They put each other in a leg lock. They destroyed each other's legs and refused to quit. Okay?
Yep.
This happens. Mauro Ranallo is screaming, don't let this guy end his career. That was awesome.
Absolutely. I thought that only added to it. And my question is a little bit separate. So now that we know, I guess, that maybe Brock Lesnar is defending the title at SummerSlam, he'll probably be going against the Lashley Reigns winner. I would do it with Lashley beating Reigns just so it's a new matchup and Reigns doesn't have to lose him again.
So would I.
Have Lesnar go in and win.
Well, actually, we have to do a break. I'm sorry I have to cut you off, but you're right at the music. Back in a moment with All Ego Ethan Page, Wrestling Observer Live. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. All Ego Ethan Page joining us here today, challenging tomorrow for the Black Label Pro Championship. Ethan, how you doing here today?
I'm good. Took a couple minutes from my workout, just sitting in my car awkwardly to get air conditioning.
Dude, you should be doing it.
My face?
You should be doing it on the Stairmaster if you want awkward.
Oh no, the music was too loud. I already thought about that.
Oh man. Hey, Jordan Grace was on the program yesterday, and she said she's doing more cardio than ever. She's working on her speed. She thinks the one thing, I'm going to give you a couple tips right here, Ethan. She says the one thing that she has on you is her speed. And I said, I think you're going to be faster than him. And she said, no, I'm really slow. So if that's true, she's got nothing on you. You're going to be the champion after tomorrow.
Well, she also has very short legs, so it's kind of hard for her to be fast.
That does affect things. That does affect things. She
Ethan,
said you...
Have, Have you thought about the fact that if you defeat Jordan Grace and she defeated Filthy Tom Lawlor by way of MMA math, you're a contender for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship?
Dude, he's already beaten Filthy, right?
Oh my God, that's
true. The Defy show.
Wow.
I think that
Did happened. I won that match?
I guess I don't even remember. I was right there. I can't even remember who won.
You were there.
I know. I can't remember. God, who won that match?
Awful.
You know what I remember? I will tell you. I'll tell you one thing I remember for that match. You kicked him so hard in the face.
Yeah.
You kicked
him a black eye.
Oh my God. You threw this kick and I was right there at ringside. And if you ever see in pro wrestling where the guy at ringside just like screams and grabs their head, you know, they're usually selling, so to speak. I was not. I thought, oh my God, he just killed Tom Lawlor. And then it happened a second time.
I wasn't either. Yeah, I was a little worried about that because, you know, it was a very playful match. Until I kicked him directly in the face.
Oh, my God.
Sure my neck was getting ripped off.
Oh, I just saw it, and I thought, I actually talked to him. I don't want to break kayfabe, everybody, but, I mean, this is a real show, so let's talk about it. I went up afterwards, and I said, why don't you put your hand up? And he goes, I never put my hand up. I just eat it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, don't do that. This is professional wrestling. This is not MMA. Why do you have to get killed out there? But, yeah, that was incredible.
He is one of those, I know we should be talking about this match off tomorrow, which I'm very excited about. We'll get to that. But Tom Lawlor, with a very select group of people, are obsessed with the physicality of professional wrestling. And they, pardon my French, they get off.
Yeah, no swearing, but you can say that.
Yeah, they get off on it. And, you know, Dijak was like that. Josh Alexander is like that. It's like that. I don't have that gene in my body.
Maybe we could have a match together. Because I could tell you one thing. I do not have that gene.
Like, yeah, but wait a second.
I can't wait to get in there with Ricky Morton. And meanwhile, Tom's like, you may have to work the whole match because I may kill these guys.
Ryan, you said, though, with yesterday, though, you were amazed by the size. And I'd love to see a picture of you two together at this Black Label Pro Show coming up tomorrow.
Oh, me and Ethan?
Yes, because you were amazed. Like, I don't know if you thought Ethan was a cruiserweight before you had first seen him before, but you were seemingly amazed by the mountain of
Dude,
man that All Ego is.
Have you seen Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio? That's what we're talking about here.
It's a very big misconception that I'm an average-sized human being.
Yeah, why is that?
How did this happen?
I get it a lot.
Yeah, like, you post all the videos on Twitter, and, like, I watched the videos. This was before I'd met you. And I watched the videos, and you just look like a normal, average-sized, independent pro wrestler. Maybe 5'8", 5'9", 160, 170, something like that. I go to Defy, and this monster blocks out the sun, and I'm like, holy smokes, this guy's gigantic.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse.
It sure is, because nowadays there aren't a lot of guys your size. Like, back in the day, you know, you'd be an average-sized guy, but today, yeah, you're like Andre the Giant out there.
I'm okay with that. That is a great compliment.
Now, what are some of your highlight matches in Black Label Pro?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I don't mean to brag, but, you know, Walter's not the one that gave PCO his resurgence. It was actually All Ego Ethan Page.
Really?
I was his first American independent match, and Joey Janela was on the show and saw PCO drop me directly on my skull with a package pile driver and take back body drops into guardrails. And we beat the snot out of each other. And that was the match that got him his match with Walter. And then, obviously, the snowball effect. And here we are with PCO having the craziest run ever. But that match happened in Black Label Pro. And Black Label Pro is the genius behind bringing PCO to America. But not a lot of people know that.
You know, I had PCO on the show a couple of weeks ago. And he did, in fact, mention being seen by Joey Janela, and the rest is history. But you know what? He did not mention your name.
Wow.
That's very, very disrespectful of him now that I know the story. So
fellow
maybe
Canadian too.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I didn't know you were a Canadian.
Yes.
Wow.
Wait, what?
I didn't know that.
Brian doesn't get out of the Northwest often. This is going to be a hell of a trip for him to Indiana.
Hey, listen. Heading out there to the East Coast?
Yeah, the East Coast of the United States, Crown Point, Indiana.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. So,
I'm currently in Canada right now talking to you. I live here.
Really? I did not know that.
Well, is there still a natural rivalry? PCO is from Quebec, and we've talked about the Hearts and the Rougeaus. There's all of these things over the years of, you know, it's Quebec versus everybody. Is that still, like, kind of the case when it comes to athletics?
Oh, yeah.
Is there that pride?
Yeah, it's not even athletics. It's kind of just a countrywide thing. Like, Quebec thinks they are their own almost country, and they've been fighting for that forever. And there's, like, a natural divide between people that are inclusive and they're trying to, like, be exclusive. So, yeah, natural feud for sure.
You know, one of my favorite characters in professional wrestling is actually your father, Joe Park. Is your father... your father or your brother?
No, my cousin.
Oh, your cousin.
You didn't know I was Canadian. You didn't know I had the first match of PCO, and now you don't even know my relationship.
Well, listen.
If you need legal help, Park cannot help you.
Let me explain something to you all, Ego, as a radio show host here, okay? Sometimes I got to pretend like I don't know anything, so then you can tell everybody, and then they get educated.
I'm glad this has been admitted here today.
Yes, it's a gimmick. It's just like pro wrestling, this radio gig.
Yeah, that's how I get out of doing laundry with my wife.
Hey, there you go. You should kayfabe that you have a wife. Don't you understand this business?
That's right.
Now tell me about Joe Park.
Well, he hasn't been on TV in a very long time, and neither has Chandler Park, so this is a very depressing subject for me.
I know, it's really sad. You were there at the tapings. It was actually right the weekend of Defy. I was like, man, look at this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Park character, he's coming back with a vengeance, and then that was it. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
That's why Jordan Grace is going to be paying for that.
Oh, there you go. A little motivation. A little kick in Ethan Page's butt. I was going to say the A word, but you said no swearing.
Yeah, this is over the air radio. We got to be careful. So what are your highlights over the last several months? Like, not just Black Label Pro, but obviously there's a million ways to watch your matches, different platforms. What are some of the things that people should seek out?
Honestly, I think right now, at this very specific moment, you're going to get the best version of Ethan Page. So tuning in tomorrow on powerbomb.tv if you can't make it to Crown Point, Indiana, and watching a remotivated All Ego Ethan Page. To be honest with you, the last couple months, maybe 6-7 months, it's kind of just been like autopilot Ethan Page with a newborn baby and frustrations from Chandler Park not being on television. So I've kind of kicked myself out of that, I don't know, dark, gloomy, weird headspace. And I've remotivated myself, and now tomorrow, capturing the Black Label Pro Championship, giving myself a purpose, a place to call home, putting myself at the head of the table, so to speak, is a big thing for me. So that's why I'm hoping people tune in tomorrow and check it out.
Well, you know, my daughter is 2.5 now, which I can't even believe I just said that, but the first 6 months was very difficult because this baby doesn't sleep. And so you've got these matches that you need to make. You're probably not sleeping at all. I mean, I'm sure that was probably a big part of this funk that you went into those 6 months.
Yeah, I also run my own promotion in my hometown called Alpha One Wrestling.
I did know that. Like, I did know that.
That's good. So there's like the business aspect of it. And then I have my personal career, which I treat as a business as well. And then I don't want to neglect my family. So, it's a bit overwhelming, but I think I've found a groove, and I'm back at it, and you're going to see a big resurgence of All Ego Ethan Page.
You know, back in the day, I say that a lot, Ethan, back in the day. Back in the day, if you were a wrestler and you decided to be a promoter, like, you were looked at as a complete idiot. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you going out there to lose money? But in 2018, I mean, if you have a semblance of a clue, you're probably not going to lose money promoting events, and you might even make a little bit of money. It's a totally different business.
So I started my own promotion because I was embarrassed to invite friends and family to the place that was running events in my hometown. And that was in 2010. This is almost 8 years ago. And I told myself the minute I lose money, I'm going to stop running shows.
And here we are 8 years later. You have not lost money.
That's awesome.
Well, so it's doing well, and I'm very proud of what we've accomplished in my hometown, which is great.
Now, you mentioned 2010, 8 years ago. This business is so different. Really, over like the last 2 or 3 years, there's like this huge resurgence in the indies, kind of corresponding with Raw sort of kind of turning people off and them wanting something different. And I feel part of it is Raw does not always, Raw and SmackDown, WWE in general, they don't always give the fans what they want. But if you go to an indie show, I mean, they're going to give you what you want. Have you seen like a big bump in business over the last 2-3 years?
Oh, yeah. Especially with the amount of people that have been running shows. I mean, it sucks because this happens a lot where companies will pop up, they'll do 2 to 3 shows, and then they'll kind of dwindle away. But the amount of work there is for independent contractors is incredible. Like, if I don't have shows in the next 2 weeks, I'm sure if I just put a tweet out, I'd be able to find something.
So, powerbomb.tv is the place to go for the Black Label Pro show on Saturday night, Crown Point, Indiana, about an hour from Chicago. And what matches, obviously besides the Chop and Rolls versus the Rock and Rolls, what matches are you looking forward to here on this show?
I'm excited to see Kofi Durst's match against, he's wrestling, oh man, I know his Twitter is Stiff Robo. You have the graphic up? This is bothering me.
Oh, I'll find it here. Stiff Robo?
Twitter. He's my friend. He's going to give me...
Oh, you're dead! See, this is what happens. See, what you're doing here is you're pretending you don't know his name, so I look it up and educate the people. Stand by. I'll get it during the break. Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, All Ego Ethan Page. The match we're looking for, Kobe Durst and Gary J. That's the match.
That was it. I'm so sorry, Gary J. Please don't hate me. But I'm very excited about it. They're both very hard-hitting wrestlers, and both looking for that breakout performance.
You know, my 2.5-year-old jumps on the bed every night before she goes to sleep, and we take her clothes off to change her diaper, and she puts her clothes in her mouth and jumps, and she says, eating clothes, eating clothes. That's what Gary J's doing here. That's a grown man. What is he doing?
Oh.
Well, you'll find obviously out live something. On powerbomb.tv.
That's right, powerbomb.tv. The That's promo right. code for 23 days is Black Label.
How about that?
Powerbomb TV, Black Label is the promo code for 23 days. All Ego Ethan Page tomorrow will be fighting for the Black Label Pro title. Myself and Filthy Tom Lawler versus the Rock and Roll Express and much, much more. Ethan, let's get some plugs out for you here real quick.
Yeah, sure. I'm most active on Twitter, so follow me on that, at Official Ego. And I'm proud to say I only lost 100 followers on the Twitter purge. So join us. I'm trying to get those back. On Instagram is at @official_ego because somebody took the one without the underscore and that's heartbreaking. But wrestlingtees.com/EthanPage. I just dropped a very cool Spider-Man-esque design. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
At Official Ego on Twitter. Make sure you head up there, follow him. Lots of great videos, lots of great stuff up there. And Ego, best of luck tomorrow. I'll see you there, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Good luck.
All right, we're out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening here today. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Back later this weekend. Don't forget tomorrow, Crown Point, Indiana, Powerbomb TV. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.